Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here with the Grapevine at SaverLife.com. And huge news for the Finger Lakes was it's online at WineSpectator.com, but subscriber-only content. So you might want to become a subscriber, catch up with what's going on in the world of wine. But James Molesworth has an article April 1st, not April Fool's. Well, it is April Fool's Day, but it's not a April Fool's joke. He's writing about Paul Hobbs' new winery in the Finger Lakes, and it's his Stirring the Lees column that James Molesworth does. It's called Hillock and Hobbs, the Newest Rising Star in the Finger Lakes. Paul Hobbs, best known for his Napa Cabernets and international winemaking projects, has turned his attention to New York Riesling. And the Spectator covers a bunch of wines from the Finger Lakes. It'll be an upcoming issue, but available online. And mentions Weimer, Standing Stone, which is owned by Weimer, Ravines, Heart and Hands, Anthony Road, Cuca Lake Vineyards, Lamoureux Landing, Red Newt Cellars as some of the leading wineries. And then says the final tipping point for the region in achieving world-class wine region status was when a few outside winemakers put down roots in the Finger Lakes. Among them was Louis Barol from Chateau Saint Côme, and they I think it's 16 different bottlings, according to James Molesworth, in 2019 now, after since their launch in 2011. So that is east side of Seneca Lake. It is very close to Hector Wine Company and sort of the banana belt there of the really of Seneca Lake. It tends to be one of the warmer sections of the lake. Sawmill Creek Vineyards is there. And then James Molesworth says adding more gravitas is winemaker Paul Hobbs. Wine, he rates at 90 points, $35 for this dry Riesling, and says it's a bone-dry, fresh, high-pitched wine that features pippin, apple, fennel, and lime pith notes backed by a twinge of slate on the finish. Understandable in style, but has purity, latent length, and a sense of precision. Again, a really nice article describing some of the challenges they had in getting vineyards on such a steep slope. It's in Burdett. It's very close to Watkins Glen. It's really virtually at the corner of 79 and 414. 79 is the route over to Ithaca. 414 goes up the east side of Seneca Lake. It also says that they have a dedicated winery facility that is underway, and that's going to be finished in time for the 2021 harvest this fall. That is not at that site, I think. It's up closer to Lodi, actually, the wine-making facility, but they're going to have a hospitality center at where their vineyards are in Burdett. It's called Hillock and Hobbs. The Hillock is his mother's maiden name. His mother and father met at Cornell many years ago, and Paul's daughter went to Cornell, graduated several years ago. So lots of connections with Cornell and also with the Oenology program at FLCC. Several of their graduates work in the vineyards at Hillock and Hobbs. So many ties to the local region. It says their wine is being made at Sheldrake Point right now, while they're, or at least this 2020 vintage. So it's exciting to see this. Or actually, this is a 2019 vintage that was released. It is going to be available for purchase on their website very soon. I think this coming week. If you go to Hillock and Hobbs, it's just Hillock and Hobbs, cornellcollege.com. You can sign up to get notified of what's happening. You can read a little bit about it, and that's where they'll be making the wine available for purchase in the near future. They don't have a ton of wine, and they want some of it to go into restaurants and Paul's accounts around the world. So if you want some of the Helican Hobbs first vintage 2019, I would buy some as soon as it becomes available. It's exciting to see this happening now in the Finger Lakes. And as I said yesterday, we're also fighting a Bitcoin mining operation, which is planning to expand quadruple, not just small expansion, but it's great timing that this came out. And I hope that this will make at least a few politicians think about what the future of the Finger Lakes is. Is it wine or is it Bitcoin mining? Because it can't be both. Not really. If we're going to expand this power station to full power and begin to heat the water of Seneca Lake, because of the massive amount of water they use to cool all their computers, they already have 7,000 up and running at this power plant. And the pollution it's going to send out is, they're burning fracked gas. So, it's going to be polluting the region. And they're hoping to operate it at full power, which is something that hasn't happened for something like 40 years since it was a coal-burning plant a long time ago. So it doesn't mix. It's not. It has no synergistic effect on the Finger Lakes. This next couple weeks are going to be a big part of this battle. And you can go to Seneca Lake Guardian to get more information. You can email me if you want more information on what's happening. There are a number of meetings. Towns and villages are meeting to pass resolutions or consider resolutions against this idea. The town of Torrey seems to be set on doing it, and it provides some tax benefits to them, but they are not affected by the pollution as directly as much of the rest of the lake is, because the westerly winds carry the air pollution away. The water is, sort of dissipated throughout Seneca Lake in the long run. It's an insane idea, but I understand the power plant wanting to do this. They're making a ton of money already. It's, in terms of money making, it's a great idea. In terms of the environment of the Finger Lakes, it's a horrible idea. So that's where regulators and the state need to step in to rein this in before it gets out of control, which it's very close to doing. But they have a lot of money to spend, this company, Greenidge Power. So be prepared to see a lot of press about how good it is for a region to have a power plant that wants to go to full power and mine bitcoins. And employ a few more people to do it, because they're automated machines, computers running. This is not a big employer. I think I'll have to look and see how many employees they have, but it's I think under 50 last I saw. And again, a business that threatens the region. So great news in the Finger Lakes this week with the announcement in Wine Spectator about Helican Hobbs. I just hope that it will sway a few minds that we have an incredibly bright future as a wine region. Not so much as a Bitcoin mining operation based on fossil fuels. There were a couple of tastings this week. Billsboro Winery has been doing some virtual tastings again this winter. They did Sauvignon Blanc a couple weeks ago, their Albarino which is fairly unique in the Finger Lakes, just a Friday night. And they'll do, 2 weeks from now, they're going to do one more. And then they're hoping to do some in-person vertical tastings. And, of course, their tasting room is open. They're adding a new covered outdoor area for music and their pizza on the patio events. So they'd had tent or umbrellas in the past, but now we'll have a covered pavilion, which is supposed to go up this week. They have the foundation. They have, you know, a lot of that work done for it, and this should go up pretty quickly. I think Vinny and Kim said it was like a 3-day project, actually, to put the structure up now that the whole base is ready. So you'll see some changes at Billsboro, and really delightful Alberino. Also, the Wine CSA, this is something you can join. You get a shipment once a month, 3 bottles from a specific winery, and then they do a virtual tasting with that winery soon afterward. And just yesterday afternoon was the tasting with Boundary Breaks, and with Bruce Murray, the owner, we virtually tasted their clone 239 Riesling, which was just beautiful, delicious, and one of their flagship wines. They're the only winery that I know of. There may be some in California that probably are some I don't know about that put the clone numbers on the bottles. And it's a little confusing initially because you think clone, you think exact copy. That's, you know, they cloned the sheep. They just cloned a black-footed ferret, I guess, or something along those lines. So you think of clones as being identical, but in the case of wine grapes, they are still Rieslings, and this happens in pretty much all varietals, but they are maybe more pronounced in some, or I've heard about more with Pinot and with Riesling, maybe those two in particular. And they're subtle variations in these clones, that subtle variations in flavor and ripening, and they're not different enough to be a new variety. But so Boundary Breaks planted a variety of clones, made wines from those specific clones, and decided to bottle them that way. And it gives you a chance to, you know, sort of experience that idea that there can be subtle differences in these clones. So also got to taste their dry rosé made with Cabernet Franc, which is a lovely, vibrant pink color, very dry. And then their sparkling bubbles, I think it's forced carbonation, Gewürztraminer, which is tremendously fruity and is actually pretty dry, but the fruitiness kind of fooled me into thinking it was more of a semi-dry. So I have 2 different sparkling wines at Boundary Breaks. So they're on the east side of Seneca Lake. They are not far from that winemaking facility that Paul Hobbs has been building, there'll be more announcements about that, I think, in the future. But he's near Boundary Breaks is near Lodi, but not up by the road. They're down quite a ways off the main road, and as I've said many times before, most of the wineries are right on the main routes, 14 on the west side of the lake, and 414 on the east side of Seneca Lake, but Boundary Breaks is well off of that, down closer to the lake. So a winery to put on your radar if you haven't. Bruce Murray said that they are distributed now in 30 states and 4 countries, and especially in New York City, I think. He's really targeted some of the big cities. He used to live in New York and work in New York for decades, I think. So it's got to be kind of fun to bring his own wine back to his old stomping grounds. So it's Boundary Breaks, again, east side of Seneca Lake. And again, check out the Hillican Hobbs article in Wine Spectator. Consider becoming a subscriber so you can read it. You will be able to pick up a copy that'll have this in it at some point in the near future. I'll let you know when the issue becomes available, probably within a couple of weeks. So they reviewed Forge Cellars, 92 points for their Breakneck Creek Riesling, as well as their Dry Railroad Riesling, 91 points for their Dry Classique, which is under $20, $18. And then other wineries in here, Fox Run, Lamoureux, Living Roots, Silver Thread, Three Brothers, Buttonwood Grove, Wagner, all mentioned in this review of Finger Lakes Wines in Wine Spectator. So, again, it is a brilliant day. The sun is shining. Exciting time for the Finger Lakes. They do not have a tasting room at Hillican Hobbs. They will have a hospitality center in the near future by later in 2021, that'll probably be open by appointment. But again, online, you can probably purchase their first Riesling at some point this week, maybe as early as tonight or tomorrow. I'm guessing at some point this week. So if you check the Hillican Hobbs website, you'll find out. And again, if you want any details on things that you heard me mention, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. I haven't heard from any wineries about the cold weather this past week. It got down, well, the low temperatures weren't as much a problem as the warmer temperatures leading up to them. We had quite a bit of warm weather, and then we went down to, you know, the range of 20 degrees this past week on two different nights, and barely above freezing during the day on a couple of those days. So certainly the potential is there for some vines to have gotten damaged that pushed their buds just a little bit too early with that warm weather. And it may be too early to tell whether there's been any damage. But this is why they have the vines, on hillsides with lakes that help to moderate temperatures. So you get these situations where, you know, the difference between, say, 15 degrees and 22 degrees might be a huge difference in terms of damage to the vines. And the wineries closer to the lake would be maybe above 20, and those further away from a lake or not near one of the lakes might be, you know, below 20. So we still can get freezing temperatures, hopefully not down into the 20 degree range, but we really have to get through the next 3 weeks before we can, even 4 weeks before we can stop worrying about frost. And so the cool weather slowed down the grapes, which is probably a good thing. This week looks kind of moderate temperatures, you know, no 70 degrees, which it would be nice, but not great for push those vines too early. But as I mentioned yesterday, I think these cold temperatures are most likely, if anything, if they damaged anything, it was probably the stone fruits, the apricots, peaches, maybe cherries. Those are the things that often get hurt first with a cold snap after some of the buds have pushed more toward opening. I was in Highland Park yesterday, and there's some magnolias starting to bloom. They were just slightly damaged by the cold, just the buds. Some of them were brown. But in general, all those spring bulbs look stunning in Highland Park right now. just waves of blue Scylla and Glory of the Snow. Up near the reservoir, kind of the west, east side of the reservoir, and then under the magnolias over on closer to St. John's home in the conservatory. Forsythia is starting to bloom. As I said yesterday, it is my favorite time of the year in Highland Park. The next couple weeks, the lilacs are pushing buds and their flowers. There'll be a few early varieties in bloom probably in the next 2 weeks, maybe within the next week. There are just a few really early lilacs that most people never see because they wait until May. So there are beautiful English daisies in the grass and violets. Daffodils are starting to bloom. The green grass is very lush. Lots of groundhogs. I did see there was a groundhog that was just sitting in the street on Highland Avenue while we were walking through the lilacs, and a couple cars stopped because it was just sitting there. And my only guess was that maybe it was scared, but also maybe the pavement felt kind of warm because of the sun, and it's like, this feels good. I'm not going to move. So someone actually got out of their car and shooed the groundhog back up the hill. So when you're walking in Highland Park, watch out for groundhog holes. They are deep and will swallow your leg. So beware of those groundhog holes. And robins were everywhere, eating worms, making up for when the ground was frozen a couple nights this past week. So beautiful time to see Highland Park. I hope you get a chance to get there. Every couple days this time of the year, just to see how things are changing. But it's a combination of the lush grass and the carpet of blue bulbs and some yellow daffodils and some yellow dogwoods blooming. And the start of the magnolias, you can really see some white on them now, that really tell you that spring is here, in spite of a little bit of snow or cold that we had. So if you want details, anything you heard me mention today, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back next Saturday with Gardening Restaurants Discover the Finger Lakes. And I hope you enjoy this beautiful weather. Have a great day.